for the last few weeks at our house, I think maybe since before Thanksgiving, we have been watching a lot of episodes of the British Baking Show. Like, I think I watched 6 episodes yesterday. Matt said, have you been watching this all afternoon? We left, we came back, you're still watching it. I lied and said, no, I haven't been watching it all afternoon, but I had. And if you've never seen this show, the premise is that they get a group of 12 really talented amateur bakers. They take them out in some big tent in the middle of nowhere in England, and they spend, I think it's 8 weeks. Every weekend they come back for 2 days and they have to bake. And they have to bake 3 different things. And it's really interesting sometimes the challenges they have. And sometimes what's cool is, you know, they made this fabulous thing that looks like one yesterday. It looked like a loaf of bread and a BLT, but it was a cake that they had made look, you know, it was fabulous. But sometimes what's interesting is when they have these colossal fails and, like, they forget to put some ingredient in, like, the thing that's going to make the cake raise, or sugar, or something crazy like that. So it's fun to watch. I enjoy it. It's making us, though, at my house, want to bake. Katie and I have agreed that watching all of this, you sort of think, well, I could do that. Maybe I should make something. And yet, the last time I baked something for Christmas, it did not go well. I found myself that year on Christmas Day sort of looking around the room and thinking, I have completely missed Christmas. The whole thing just seemed like flat. There was something that was supposed to happen and I totally missed it, and I don't know what it was. And it was this sense of having prepared and yet not being prepared enough. For example, the tree was up, but if it hadn't been one of those pre-lit trees, it would have been completely naked. All it had on it were lights. We had company coming for Christmas dinner, but none of the household preparations got done until after we opened our presents. And so we ran around doing laundry and vacuuming and making food and all this stuff. And so that when the guests came, you had that sort of agitated feeling like, oh gosh, I hope I didn't remember or I didn't forget something. It was a domestic flurry of getting ready, but some things didn't work out the way I had planned. And one of them was the dessert. I had promised Katie that I would make a French silk chocolate pie for Christmas Day. I have made much more complicated desserts, so I wasn't worried about it. What could go wrong? And so I made the pie crust, and it went like this into the pan and turned into a giant blob, a big round blob of pie dough. It in no way resembled a pie crust. So we threw that out and made another one, and it kind of went like this too. On the third try, it looked like pie crust. And I don't know what I did wrong, but it just kept going like that. I was so frustrated, and I had to make this chocolate custard then to go in the pie. I've done this before. First try, it looked like soup. Second try, just as bad, but we didn't have time for me to do anything else, so I poured it in, hoped that it would get solid. It was chocolate soup pie. You would cut into it, and it would just kind of go all over the plate. It was terrible. We had ice cream for dessert that year. It was very frustrating, and Christmas Day was over, and I felt like I had missed it. So are you making preparations for Christmas? During this first week of Advent, were there things that you experienced that made you feel like Christmas was coming and that you should start getting ready? Was it running all over the place trying to find the right package, or standing in line at the post office to get your packages sent? Is your house clean? Have you got cookies made? And have you got the right cookies made so that the cookie eaters at your house won't be disappointed? The radio and the television are filled with advertisements for toys and clothes and cars and gadgets. And it is so easy to get caught up in thinking that that's what Christmas is about, that anxious noodling feeling that things need to be done and they need to be done right, and there seem to be so many messages saying these are the things you need to do. Buy these things, make these things, be these things. How did it get like that? Finding the best gift or making the perfect pie, having a tree that would make Martha Stewart say, oh my, it's lovely, all of those things don't really proclaim the good news of Christmas. We exhaust ourselves for the better part of a month, but are we really ready to celebrate the good news of Jesus' birth? I'm not sure always that I am. I don't know about you. And if folks who go to church every Sunday can get distracted by the hustle and the bustle that happens each December, what does it feel like for people who are doing that same hurrying and don't have God's love at the center of their celebration? In our gospel for today, we are told that John the Baptist brought a divine message to all who could hear. He called for people to change their lives for the forgiveness of sins. He said, prepare for God's arrival. Make the road smooth and straight. Every ditch will be filled, every bump smoothed out. The detours will be straightened out. All the ruts will be paved over because everyone will be there to see the parade of God's salvation. And that's the kind of preparation we are called to do for Christmas. Serious construction, not just worrying about if the cookies are right or the bows are the right color to go with the paper. I worry about that way too much. This is serious stuff that we're talking about, major road work, and it certainly ought to be more important than having a clean house or a dazzlingly decorated tree. We have been given the incredible gift of being able to celebrate that the Word of God became flesh and dwells among us. But how do we get ready? I'm not going to argue against cleaning your house or decorating or buying lovely gifts for caring people. I got cookies this morning and it made my whole day. So I know that those things warm our hearts and are a part of this celebration. But there's more going on here. Father John Foley describes it this way. He says, Christ is gestating right now in our hearts, just as you and I did in our mother's wombs. Like a mom, we have to stretch. His birth will not make the world pleasant and polite, but will connect it at its very roots with the mysterious profundity of God. Will you let him be born in you this year a little more than in the past? Are you willing to let your inside stretch wider than ever before and so make room? This is the meaning of Advent. Prepare the way of the Lord inside yourself. John the Baptist's call to get ready is a hopeful and necessary message for us today. And it doesn't take much to see the world has all kinds of deserted and lonely places. Scarcity, isolation, hunger, and violence seem to be present in every corner of the world. The pain and injustice around us can make us wonder whether God is at work in this wilderness. But Luke reminds us in this story of John and throughout his account of the gospel that the wilderness is precisely where God provides what we need. This is where we meet God. These are the places where Christ calls us to go so that we can join in crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. In the places for us that are most difficult to go, that is where God's light needs to shine. After watching the British baking show last night, I was watching Doctor Strange. Any of you Avengers fans? Yeah, okay. So it's a weird little movie. But at the point when the hero has to decide what to do, should he serve his own needs, use the gifts he's been given to make his own life better, or should he use those gifts to do heroic things for other people, therefore making his own life better? His mentor says, it's not about you. It never has been. And I thought, oh, this is it. This is the meaning of Advent. It's not about us. It's not about our celebrations. It's not about what happens to us. It's not about what we do for other people. So it was dialogue worth remembering. There are wilderness places all around us in the lives of people that we know, and what's important is God's love in their lives, God's love being shared with other people. Wilderness places exist in the lives of people we know, in the hearts of people we love, in the daily existence of so many who need to know that God is with them, and that no matter how deserted they may feel, God is always going to be with them. And that is a message that we can share again and again and again, and in doing it, we need to remember it's not about us. Sharing that message, though, is the best way for us to celebrate Advent and prepare for Christ's coming. Remember, it's not about us. It's about God, and it's about how God's love can be proclaimed and shared. There was a poem that I read in preparing for today, and I'm not quite sure. It's one of those poems you go, this is deep. I really like this, but do we get what it means? And I'll tell you in advance, I think what the poem is saying is that that good news, that message of God is eternal and it doesn't change. The poem was written by Jay Janda. It says, neither the pearl nor the diamond is diminished by day or night, nor graced through ownership, nor changed by price. Purity is its birthright, which craft cannot create, only cherish or destroy. Ours is the opportunity to take this pure, lovely message of love and share it as we prepare to celebrate and to welcome Christ into our hearts at Christmas and all year round. God's blessings on your sharing.